earthquakes are a part of life out here, so most people just kind of pause for a moment, and then as soon as they realize it's nothing too intense, then they just kind of ignore it and go back to their to whatever they're doing. But in this case, you know, it really was evident quite quickly that this was something different, that this was an intensity that was going to, perhaps not in Tokyo, but wreak tremendous damage somewhere in the country. Even in that building, the swaying and the shaking was so extreme that you couldn't really walk. You couldn't easily stand up. You just had to sit down and hold on to your desk. And if your chair had casters on it, yeah, you really had to hold on, or you were going to get jerked around a bit. It's a very strange thing to have that experience when you're in a giant square building. It sort of defies your sense of physics because you don't really think that a structure like that can bend and sway and wobble, but it can. It really defies the imagination.
After those 11 minutes of shaking, what was your first action? What was the first thing you did?
The phones were all down, but email was still working. So the first thing I did was sent an email back to my family saying I'm okay. I had no idea what had happened or where, but I knew that something significant had happened and that probably phone lines were going to be down for quite some time. So I just quickly shot off an email as fast as I could. And then we congregated in the division head's around the division head's office because he had a television. He turned it on, and you know, we started to see images of the tsunami overtaking a village in Iwate somewhere. It was just something like I've never seen.
Where you are in Japan, is there any indication at this point that the country was hit by a massive earthquake and a tsunami?
What you notice here in Tokyo at the moment is really two things. First of all, because they're trying to conserve energy, the train system has reduced capacity to something like a third of what it normally carries. And it's busy on a good day here in Tokyo. So, you know, getting around on the trains right now is quite difficult. You have to wait a long time for a train to come, and when they do come, you're really, really packed in there if you can fit in the train at all. Additionally, a lot of the types of foodstuffs that are going to be directed northward for the foreseeable future have sort of vanished in Tokyo. So you can walk into any convenience store, bread store, supermarket, and you know, a third of the items are just completely gone and probably won't come in for quite a while.
Are you at all concerned about some of the health risks from the affected nuclear reactors in the country?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. I'm not terribly concerned about it because I understand the science behind it, and the foreign media has made a much bigger deal of this than it actually is. And although it is getting ongoing press coverage here in Japan, it's not the sort of catastrophic, dire, end-of-the-world Holocaust scenario that is being depicted in the American media, for example, CNN and Fox News, and the German media seems to be picking it up in a way that distorts the actual case of this reactor. And it's causing a bit of a panic in the foreign community, which is really unjustified. I guess I'd like to make an appeal to anybody that's listening to participate, if they can, in the relief effort in some way. You know, make a donation to your favorite relief organization or see if there's some way you can get involved. I personally, for my bit, I'm thinking seriously about quitting my job and moving up north for a couple of years to see if I can help with the relief effort. That's only one person's effort, but I think every little bit counts.